That number again, 0833 99 103. We receive many comments from Stephen Kieran in Ballinaclash, a Fianna Fáil activist there, but he has extended his small comments on the text to an email today, and he says, I hope you'll be covering this latest attack on ordinary people from the treasonous and selfish unions. He's talking about the ratcheting up of the public service opposition to the pay cuts. The public service unions are living in some sort of parallel universe, as they appear to have no comprehension whatsoever of the current economic circumstances in this country. There is still €500 million a week being borrowed in order to pay their salaries as well as for welfare. Thanks to Brian Lenihan's necessary measures, the cost of borrowing has greatly reduced since this time last year. And we go on and go on and say these unions are directly attacking democracy by refusing to answer queries on behalf of the people from the democratically elected members of our Dáil Éireann councils. Shame on them. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
You're an angry man.
Well, I am, because I think it's going to be an attack yet again on the ordinary working person. To threaten to close schools is going to cause either people to lose the wages, because they're going to have to take time off school, or they're going to have to pay a childminder to look after their children. I mean, I understand public service being angry, but I mean, I've got a number of friends, both secondary and primary school teachers, and the vast majority of them do not agree with this action. In fact, many of them actually feel bullied into it. They don't want to strike. And I certainly hope that any parent who loses money will send the bill to both the INTO and the ASTI. This is a crazy way of treating the nation's children to get a political aim.
But, I mean, look at the hammering they're after taking on wages. Surely that's not fair.
Well, I mean, I think everyone has to contribute. But, I mean, if you ask the 285,000 people who were working, who've lost their jobs, they've had a 100% pay cut. I'm sure they would love to have a secure job. Yes, they have contributed, but so, I mean, I work in the private sector. Virtually every one of my customers and suppliers have all taken pay cuts. If the way, I think, to address this is not to threaten people, not to hurt the public, not to close welfare offices or hospitals or whatever else, but is to sit down and try and find a formula where they can either work longer hours and get a bit of additional money. You need to be creative. You don't need to threaten people.
Yeah, the public service unions are not interested in serving the public, they're only interested in their own members' pay. This is abundantly clear by their behaviour attacking the nation's children, sick and needy. No one is forcing them to work in the public service, so if things are as bad as they claim, there is nothing stopping them leaving and getting a highly paid, secure job in the private sector.
Well, absolutely. No, there's no one holding a gun to anyone's head. If someone isn't happy in terms of employment, they can go out and find another job. The fact that none of them have, or very few have, I think indicates that deep down they realise the value of having a secure job. And again, I mean, for so-called intelligent people, and most to deny the economic reality that we're borrowing $500 billion a week. I mean, whether you agree with what Brian Lenihan did or whether you don't, the reality is this time last year, Ireland was paying one of the highest interest rates for its bonds, which is basically the money the government has to borrow to pay wages. Now we're paying one of the lowest rates. We're paying half the risk premium Greece is. I mean, these numbers do matter. I mean, for every billion in interest, that's the equivalent of over 20,000 salaries of teachers, newly qualified teachers, or 6% of welfare. So by ignoring this, if the government did roll back, it would be a national disaster, because the bond markets would react very unfavourably. We'd have to pay either higher interest, or worse still, maybe we couldn't borrow money at all. So instead of looking at a modest 5, 6, 7%, there could be a 20% cut. There's also, I think, an important point that the European Commission today are set to look at discussing possibility of forming a European version of the IMF, so-called the EMF. And one only has to look at recent bailouts, for example, in Asia, in Argentina, in Latvia, what actually happened to public and private servants and workers when the IMF comes in. So we need to stop this happening. But I think they're going about totally the wrong way, and by attacking ordinary people is wrong. It's only going to lose them, their support, if whatever support they have at the moment.
All right, well, hang on the line there, because we're joined by Peter Mullen, who's PRO for the Irish National Teachers Organisation. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Victor.
Are you getting that sort of response elsewhere?
No, we're not. I mean, just to take a number of issues there that Stephen raised. I mean, first of all, we got an over 80% mandate from our members to follow a reasoned course of protest against the cuts that were imposed on salaries last year. We signalled in January that we would begin a work to rule. and we said in February that unless we got a reasonable response from our employer, which is the government, in terms of establishing talks, that we would escalate the protest. Now, it's still not too late. We want to be engaged in talks with our employer. We're not directly attacking democracy. This is part of normal industrial relations, that an employer would talk to its employees. And you know, I would have to say that the anger that Stephen is talking about is equally matched within our own members. You know, Stephen points out about the government finances. I could equally point out that, you know, there were 200,000 additional people at work a year ago and who are now out of a job, while government has put 11 billion into the banks in the meantime. I mean, how many jobs could have been created or saved or developed had some of that money been put into a proper job strategy? But government has adopted a policy of, you know, we'll attack labour as opposed to tackling all the challenges that are facing the country.
Could I ask you a question on it? Because you used the word employer three times in that.
Yeah.
And the employer that you work for doesn't have the money, and they're borrowing 500 million, as Stephen says, each time to pay the bill. The long-term thing is the banks. That is not the same account as that comes out of. So they're actually borrowing to pay wages. No employer would do that.
And the reason for that is that there has been a complete collapse in government revenue. Now, the way to do that, the way to correct that, in our view, was not to simply depress government income, but to look at ways of maintaining government income. Now, they could have done that by collecting all the taxes that are due or the income that's due, and look at ways of raising revenue. And keeping people at work would have been one way of ensuring that there wouldn't have been a complete collapse in government revenue. Don't forget, it's only just over 2 years ago we had an OECD report which said that we had a competitive, lean and understaffed per head of population public service delivering a quality service. Now, nobody says it can't be improved, but it blew apart this caricature of an overstaffed or bloated public service. If you take the sector where my members work in, we have 100,000 additional pupils coming in, but the number of teachers has been capped. So, I mean, that is some productivity to be giving. And what we're saying simply is, it is not too late to reach a negotiated settlement. It's in nobody's interest to have 350,000 angry, disaffected public servants or any worker. And, you know, it behoves government to sit down and find a negotiated settlement in this instance.
Now, isn't it true, though, to say that things were mad in the Celtic Tiger? There was a lot of bubble money going around from the sins of probably our political masters, but there was a lot of extra money around. The DDDA is evidence in the Irish Independent with that report of all the good times they had. Foss, the very same. Sure, champagne and caviar, why not? Now, at the very bottom of the food chain, there was the clamour from the public service for benchmarking, and they got the money out of the bubble. The bubble is over. The money isn't there. So you just can't be paid the extra money that you got during the bubble times. So this is the reality of it is now. You go back to what you were on before.
And benchmarking delivered productivity. I mean, the members that I represent gave productivity in terms of that benchmarking. It wasn't just handed over. It was delivered over a long period of time. But, you know, when you mention, you know, the caviar lifestyle, my immediate reaction to that, Declan, is what has that got to do with teachers who are teaching in an overcrowded
classroom?
Because
you benefit from the bubble money. And the bubble money was given to you under benchmarking because we thought we had the money, but then it turns out that we didn't have the money. It was all just false money with VAT and building of houses and apartments we didn't need. And now that money isn't there, so the money that you were getting under that, the increase, is no longer there to continue paying you the increase.
So what you're saying then is that ordinary workers and social people on social welfare have to pick up the tab for the caviar champagne lifestyle of those who ran away with themselves.
They ran away with it as well, and they deserve all the criticism they're getting. But I'm saying that you were bottom of the food chain on it, but you did benefit from extra money that was generated in an economy that was generating this extra money, but now that money is gone, so you can't actually afford to pay the increases that you got in the benchmark.
And we deliver productivity for it. But let's move on from that and say, you know, the public servants have never said that they're not prepared to make a contribution, and have made very creative and strong attempts to engage with government to find a way forward out of this, and are still willing to do so in spite of what happened before Christmas. And I think government has a duty to take the opportunity to try and reach a settlement in this issue that will benefit the whole country, and we can move on from here.
Stephen, is there merit in what Peter Mullen says?
Well, again, I think it goes back to my comments about living on a parallel universe. I don't know what universe he's on. I mean, benchmarking, as you raised, is a very key point. I mean, 10 years ago, or just over 10 years ago, the ASTI were striking because they wanted a 30% pay rise. It's understandable public servants wanted to maybe, as I say, benchmark their salaries against the private sector. That's fine, but benchmarking has to go two ways. Private sector, either as you point out, 285,000 people have had a 100% pay cut. Most others have had probably 5, 10, 15% pay cut. So there has to be reality. Yes, there was more money around then. There isn't now. There's also the deflation, which hasn't been mentioned. I mean, there's a couple of other points as well. A reasonable response is to sit down and negotiate. A reasonable response is not to shut down the schools. Also, the INTO's own figures published in April, when they're comparing female and male primary school teachers, reported that the average female INTO teacher earns 56,000 and the male earns 60,000. I think I emailed those figures into you previously, the link to RTE. So that still is substantial money. Plus, an Irish teacher earns more after tax than French teachers earn before tax. They also teach one of the lowest number of hours in the OECD. The same OECD also reports that 20% of students who leave education in Ireland are functionally illiterate, which isn't exactly a great something to be proud of. But going forward, I mean, everyone can blame what has happened, but we need to go forward. We need to see where we are now. 500 million a week being borrowed is reality. Sit down and negotiate. Don't threaten the nation's children and their parents.
Okay, let me finish with Peter on this and acknowledge that Stephen is talking from a party that's been in government all those years and were in charge during all this and maybe got us into this mess. So the attack on the conditions of teachers there.
He is, and it's amazing when Stephen starts to talk about something that you know, I know something about. I mean, he's making comments there that are totally inaccurate. The fact of the matter is that Irish primary teachers teach 200 hours more per year than their European counterparts. 20% of the population are not functionally illiterate. An international study a number of years ago found difficulties with reading, and most of those difficulties were at the older end of the population, where people had been out of education for years, or perhaps were in an age group where they had to leave school at age 12, 13 or 14. His talk about most people in the private sector having taken pay cuts is simply not borne out by the facts. Most people in the private sector have had pay freezes, and that's the employer's own figure. So, you know, when we talk about parallel universes, you know, Stephen might get his facts correct before he comes on and starts throwing things around as if they're true.
Do you think, Stephen, that Bertie Ahern and Martin Cullen are in parallel universes with the extra pension? And look at the amount of money that Martin Cullen is getting when he's just retiring.
I don't think I think the political system needs to be reformed that way. But going back to the gentleman there, the figures I quoted are facts, and I will gladly email in the links and the reports, and maybe he might come back tomorrow or in the future to debate that. What I said are facts, and I dispute what he says there, and I will gladly email you the links later.
All right, got to leave it there. Thank you both. That is Peter Mullen, who's PRO for the Irish National Teachers Organisation, and Stephen Kernan from the Fianna Fáil Party. It's